This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we made it through March. It is the last day of March. We made it through the Ides and everything, which just is like the middle. But we all know about Julius Caesar. And
I don't know.
We made it, though.
Well, for now, we still have, you know, another like almost 12 full hours left of March. And, you know, they've got this weather warning coming, you know, starting sometime tonight. Rain in Western Oregon?
What?
I am shocked.
I saw the story at kykn.com, so you know it's true. Mm-hmm. There's snow warnings in the inland northwest. Montana's looking like it's going to get some big snow. Idaho may get some. Oregon. But you know what? All of us need the water. We all need the water. We all need the moisture. We don't want a drought. I understand that droughts have been declared by the governor in Eastern Oregon, Deschutes, Baker, Harney. They've all been declared as droughts. So it's a little like a little scary for the summer, because we all know Oregon doesn't really manage its forests well. So you throw a drought in on top of it.
Yeah, and I'm just going, well, I mean, a drought is just par for the course. I don't know if they've lifted it in quite a long time.
Yeah.
You know, these drought warnings. And I just go, you know, it's so much fear and so much, you know, and it's like, but there's ways to prevent it if our government would, you know, really get their butts in gear and open up and allow us to do things to properly manage forests.
Oh, what a novel concept.
Maybe find better ways to retain water. You know, yeah. I always sit there, you know, I mean, it's more of a California problem than here, really. But at the same time, you know, we see these things play out, and I'm kind of going, you know, here we are in Salem, where we rely on the water coming from Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of going, and they're going to lower this thing down.
I was
going
to say that big drawdown is coming.
And yeah. I'm just going, are we really thinking this thing through? Because, I mean, how many years has it been? They declare a drought here, and then you drive up there, and you're like, it looks like there's a decent amount of water up here. What's the drought? Oh, well, the dams are open. So they're just letting the water flow out. And I'm going, shouldn't you be preparing and maybe holding that water if you're worried about droughts? I'm confused by how it works.
Well, you know, they got experts on it, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
They're probably
sure
wearing bow ties, too.
Oh my gosh. Beware the bow. You see a bow tie coming at you, and a bow tie with round tortoise shell. Run!
Run. Turn and go. Turn and go. Evacuate.
Find another expert, for God's sake. All right. Well, today is National Clams on the Half Shell, and I think my mother celebrates this day. I know she loves oysters, which I think are whoever decided to look at this thing on a shell and thought that would be good to eat. Oh. But she says they taste like the ocean.
I don't know.
Believe her, but I'm not doing it.
I've swum in, you know, gone swimming in the ocean. You get a mouthful of water and you're going, I don't know if that's the taste I'd want.
Right? I don't know, but it is that. It's also National Farm Workers Day. And this is funny because it used to be Cesar Chavez Day, but whoops-a-daisy. Don't think we're calling it that anymore. I'm wondering what Salem Kaiser is going to do with Chavez Elementary School, because there's all this controversy now about, number one, we're all fallible human beings with flaws, and some have worse flaws than others, but a bunch of crappy stuff came out about Cesar Chavez, and so a lot of people are changing names of buildings and things like that. So it's just a National Farm Workers Day again.
Yeah, well, that's the simplest way to put it. And I just sit here and go, but that's par for the course in today's, you know, the way things are. It's like, you know, we're going to kick and scream about, you know, someone's behavior and, you know, hold it to today's standards, even if it was 200 years ago.
Right.
And we're going to cancel them for all of this. I mean, whether it's Columbus or Chavez or anything else. I mean, the big controversy now is they're sitting there saying Cesar Chavez Boulevard in Portland needs to be changed back to 39th. And all the people in the area are screaming, we didn't want it to become Cesar Chavez Boulevard in the first place. We liked 39th.
Right. And the thing about it, all the businesses on there that had changed Leatherhead and business cards and everything else because the street changed. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens because MLK, there's, you know, everybody has flaws. I'll just leave it out there. I like this idea. Let's make it Chuck Norris Day.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, I think that would work. That would work, and it would really represent everybody on equal.
Everybody
footing.
Loves Chuck because Norris.
Because we're all, well, and we're all afraid of Chuck Norris, you know.
Right, right. The street, if you want to name a street, he'd just, you know, he'd beat the street into submission, and it is Chuck Norris Boulevard.
That's right.
Well, it's also a National Dance Marathon Day. I do remember that. Remember back in the day in the 30s and 40s and maybe even 50s where the people in the last couple standing were like basically asleep, leaning into each other. They were exhausted, but they got that little trophy and it's like, was it worth it?
That's right. They got a coupon for a, you know, a free meal.
A free dinner at Denny's, you know. it's also National Crayola Day. I love this day because to me, and probably to you too, because we're older now. Before school, when you were getting your school supplies, getting that brand new box of 64 Crayolas with the built-in sharpener, I would just look at them because I like to draw and color, you know, I'm a painter and all that other stuff. So to me, it was like, and then you just didn't want to dull them out and they were never the same after you used them, even though you had the sharpener. It was a banner day. I loved it.
Well, that was the thing is, you have this nice fresh box of crayons. The last thing you can do is use them.
I know. You just want to gaze on them. It's like, ooh, wow.
Set them
well,
up
it's
on,
also tater.
You got to set them on your desk, open the lid, let all your classmates
see.
See,
I should have gotten, well, we were kind of, we didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't afford to, but yeah, get one and just have it be up there as the right. prime, the pristine. it's National Tater Day, which I love a good tater. I love this one though. It's National Bunsen Burner Day. And every time I hear Bunsen Burner, all I can think about is Bunsen Honeydew from The Muppet Show and Beaker, his trusty little lab assistant. But you've got kids that have gone through high school. You still have science labs and Bunsen burners. Please tell me you do.
As far as I know, they do.
Okay.
That's still something being utilized. It's probably, you know, when you're talking about teenagers, probably something safer than an alternative, like a, you know, stovetop kind of mentality.
Well, there is big news, and this is something I haven't heard a ton of people talking about. I did hear Glenn talking about it this morning, which spurred me. Where is that story? NASA, this is cool. So NASA begins the countdown for humanity's first launch to the moon in 53 years. Now, this, first of all, I'm old enough to remember when all this happened. I was a little kid, but I remember it. I was allowed to stay up. I think it was in 69. This is a 32-story space launch system. It's poised to blast off on Wednesday. It's like 3 p.m. our time on the West Coast with four astronauts. After a day in orbit around Earth, their Orion capsule will propel them to the moon and back. There aren't any stops. It's just a quick U-turn around the moon. The nearly 10-day flight will end with a splashdown in the Pacific. But this is still really cool. I mean, we went to the moon. It was a big race. It was a big challenge. President Kennedy at the time challenged everybody to do this by the end of the decade, and we did. And for me as a little kid, I remember we got Tang out of it. Glenn reminded us of that. I never liked Tang. I thought it was gross. And we got these disgusting astronauts food stick things that were so nasty. But it's like, this is what the astronauts are eating.
Eat like an astronaut. Eat like an astronaut. Well, I mean, you look, it's really come down to, you know, we've taken the whole concept of eat like an astronaut. And now we've turned it into tube food in different forms and fashions. Yep.
Right. Well, I just think this is really awesome. I just love that sort of space exploration. And this is a really good thing. And, you know, are we, and I don't want to kind of crib what Glenn was saying, but it got me thinking this morning because we're really kind of poised for what comes next for humanity. And I think he said that we're, you know, eventually we will be known as Earthlings. Mm-hmm. And I just think the whole concept is great. And I know the mustache and I are going to be watching this and seeing what happens. And I love it also kind of coincides with one of the hottest movies, which is Project Hail Mary, obviously, which is about, I won't go into the plot of it, but, you know, a threat to Earth and having to leave Earth to fix the threat and meeting another species. And so all of this is very cool. Space exploration is cool. We don't seem to have the same fervor for it or the same curiosity because, again, not a lot of people are talking about this.
No, and that's what's maybe that's the problem is Hollywood, to a certain extent, has spoiled us on the idea of space exploration and, you know, space stories and things like that. Maybe that combined with a couple of tragedies through NASA and things like that. And you're kind of going, something's taken away, you know, that idea of the next frontier, you know. And the other part, I guess, is human beings at this point are so just content to sit by and watch as the world goes around them.
well, and a lot of people, you know, it's going to cost, however, there's probably a figure in here, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And, you know, well, what about fighting all the, you know, there's so much to, it's like, aren't we already funding that to the tunes of millions and billions and billions of dollars? And you look at, you know, when we have conversations about just take the homelessness problem, we're throwing money. Where did I see a stat? I want to say it was in Portland or Seattle. It was New York. 81,000 over the median income of your average New Yorker, they are towards every homeless person. So we keep throwing money at that and the problem keeps getting worse. I am fine with this. And then my understanding also, most of this is private money. Mm-hmm. You've got remember the spaceship that took the Dippy Doo girls up there and they were all, Katy Perry and her Daisy, yeah. And she kissed the ground when she was gone for 5 minutes. But these are all the people they're funding this. So I have no problem with this. I think it's exciting. Like I said, I will be watching it. I know if you're busy, Hunter, I can report about how cool it was. It'll probably go by like that fast, but I think this is cool. So I'm just on the record. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Well, and it harkens back to a day when especially Americans, but humans in general were excited and looking forward to the next adventure without having politics or gender identity or any number of things that we hear about constantly today being the primary focal point.
Yeah, that adventurous human spirit to want to discover. Back in the day, you know, Columbus, think about what it would have taken to set sail in the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria to go into the oceans. I mean, just I love that about humanity, that adventurous wanting to learn more, that forever being curious, wanting to know all the things that there are to know. So this is wicked. So we're going to take our first break. Then I want to come back and kind of bring us back down to earth with Oregon. Our friend of the show, Tony Aiello, had a really good post about realistic expectations in the Republican gubernatorial race in the state of Oregon. So we're going to come back and chat about that. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
Okay, so Tony Aiello is a name you probably would know. He's been very, very involved in the fight against Measure 114 and really kind of, he's really been there for Oregonians, working with Derek LeBlanc in protecting Oregonians' Second Amendment rights. He put out a post today that I want to share. I shared it on my social medias, but I wanted to share it today because I think we need to get it right, because I'm seeing a lot of comments and things like that and a lot of promises being made by a lot of candidates that they cannot possibly keep. And that's the kind of the thing when you're in political season, you hear people, there's a lot of big language, big promises, getting people excited. And that's okay. But I think it's important to remember that there's only so much a Republican governor can do. Mm-hmm. So if you'll indulge me for a second, I want to share his full post because I think it's important. He said, for those dreaming of a Republican governor being elected and simply disregarding laws enacted by the legislature or the people, you have two major issues among dozens of others. First, many of those decisions are made by the attorney general, and Rayfield holds that office since he was elected in 2024. The governor does not decide who prosecutes who to prosecute or not to prosecute, though the governor does hold a pardon power. Second, and there's this little ditty I warned against back in 2012. The governor can be impeached for, quote, willful neglect of statutory or constitutional duty. Failing to enforce a law enacted by the legislature or the people would likely fall under both. Indeed, Article 5, Section 10 says, quote, he, the governor, shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed, close quote. Conservatives, Republicans, libertarians, anti-authoritarians, we need to get real about what a governor can and cannot do. This is not federal politics, and Oregon's next governor will not be Donald J. Trump. And he says, who I proudly voted for in 3 elections and represented in court. Among the biggest clubs the governor wields are the ability to veto and call special sessions. A great candidate will also be able to lead people when the legislature fails. Be realistic this primary, whomever you're supporting. I think that's very sage, wise advice. And that's why, you know, I think we've talked about this too. Be strategic on this one. We've always said in the past, in the primary vote, you know, who you like the best, maybe it's your friend or they get you in the feels. I really, this time, look past that. Who can realistically win in Oregon? And take the emotions out of it and just look at the data and the facts and the electorate. And I think this is a very, and then he goes on to list Section 4 and he puts everything out there. And there's a lot of comments on this. I just think it's a very important post and I appreciate him for putting that out there. It's not a splash of cold water in the face. It's a moment to say, let's really play the cards right and be strategic on this and take a realistic approach to it. I commend him for that.
Well, and for me, that's the biggest part of all of the potential of having a Republican governor. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. We talk about it regularly. Tina Kotek is not well-liked amongst followers. I mean,
correct.
And unfortunately, in Oregon, we fight against the, you know, D, you know, no matter what, you know, vote against the R just because for whatever reason, I've been told that's the way I need to go. So if we do manage to pull out a Republican victory, no matter which one of the candidates it is,
right.
The other part we need to realize is it's not going to change everything overnight. We are very likely still going to be controlled by the Democrats in both the House and the Senate, and that limits what a Republican governor can even accomplish.
Right.
The best thing they can accomplish is slowing down the death spiral and literally showing Oregonians that, you know, more evenness in our legislature, more, you know, a different direction, a different thought pattern can actually make a difference, because the first Republican governor is not going to change direction. It's going to take a massive shift amongst everything. So that'll be the other part. If we do get that Republican governor, not to judge them based on one term and sit there and say, well, they didn't accomplish anything.
Really good. Yeah, that's a really good point to make, because so many people do. Well, look what they're doing with Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a year. Why isn't everything perfect? It's taken a generation or two to get here. It's taken 40 years in Oregon to get where we are. It's not going to happen in one election cycle. There's some comments on my post on here. My friend Jane said it took a lot of years for us to get into this mess. It'll take a lot of years to get us out. But if the Dems continue to hold all the executive positions and a supermajority in the legislature, we can't even start.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's a great, great point. Another friend, Susan, said we need the person out of the primary gate to be the one that can actually be elected in November based on actual registration numbers, not emotional fantasy. Both really good spot on comments.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what's so challenging. And we can take it literally to what we hear from the other side about the global warming or the climate change. It's like
transing the kids.
We spend so many years, you know, destroying our environment we have to change it immediately, or, you know, and it's like, so we need to suffer because you're telling us that something may or may not happen by some set date down the road, which every date they've set thus far has come and gone without the catastrophe they claimed.
Well, yes, exactly right. And like you said, Kotek is pretty much universally loathed. You said that there was video when she went to the rally, the No Kings ridiculousness. Have fun out there, kids. That she, you know, again, she got boos. The other side of this, and this is where I'm taking my, when she said not an emotional fantasy, and here's where we come down to the one issue voters and what has stopped a probably winnable Republican from going through. It is one issue voters who simply refuse to vote for a candidate who does not hold all of their views. Typically, it's the abortion issue. And I get that, man. I get it. But if you can't even get in there, if they hold all the powers, all the supermajority, you can't even start. And abortion is codified in the Constitution.
Yeah, you could literally have the most anti-abortion conservative ready, and if they were to get elected, they cannot change the way Oregon handles abortions without a lot of help.
And so how many cycles have we gone through? And I've had these conversations with friends and sadly former friends who just, my conscience won't let me. I can't in good conscience. I can't hold my nose. And I'm frankly, well, then you're part of the problem. You're part of why after cycle, here we are. And it's as worse, you know, it'll get worse. It can always get worse. But there's a shot here to change it,
well,
to make one step to move in the right direction.
I just, the abortion issue in the state of Oregon, I struggle to imagine how that can be such a determining factor from people, which it is. I mean,
for the left too.
But I don't understand the thought process in that you have one option, and that's a maybe not, you know, maybe a pro-choice Republican who sits there and says, you know, first term, what, you know, is different than third term. But by voting for that person, you're sitting there helping elect someone who believes that maybe a week after they're born, we should still be able to abort them.
Yeah. Well, post-birth is fine with us. And that's what I don't get. And I don't get the disconnect. And when you try, because again, it is coming from an emotional, very heartfelt. And I agree with that. I agree with them. But when you're looking at, you have to really be pragmatic and you have to be realistic. And if you want to make any change, otherwise this just continues to spiral. There have been a number of candidates who have been But my gosh, they were Republicans. They were better than anything the Democrats put up.
Well, I just sit here and go, if abortion is your key issue, you're probably living in the wrong state. That's just par for the course. If you are so anti-abortion that you wouldn't vote for a Republican because they're a little squishy on it, you probably need to move to a state that has already created a anti-abortion.
And you have to think about, because again, you have to look at the numbers. You can't win with just Republicans. You need those NABs. You need those libertarians. In fact, you need probably need some Democrats. So you're not going to put out somebody who is a Democrat, but you need, there are the certain issues, and abortion, again, it's codified in the Oregon Constitution. It really isn't an issue in a gubernatorial race. So take it out of the equation and make your votes based on the metrics and the facts.
The one thing I will say in what I have seen thus far is the top five candidates for the Republican governor in this primary are very stark different to the Democrat. You know,
oh yeah,
I mean,
all of them, yeah.
And that makes me happy, because I think we need that. We need to be able to see a stark difference between where we've been going for the last 40 years versus where we need to start heading.
Yeah, exactly. And because Kotek is so uniquely unpopular, we've had 4 years of this individual doing this, whereas in 2022, maybe, when we had Christine Drazen. So, again, I really like this post. I appreciate it. To be pragmatic, to be realistic about it, and understand what the governor can and can't do. And just look at this as a start to healing Oregon.
Just over a month and a half to those primaries.
I know.
So we need to start, paying attention. Paying attention and thinking about, who may best represent the Republicans in the general.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Lots more to talk about on the other side. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. If I sound a little muffled, I had to dig out my Karen mask because I've got a newsflash for everybody. Okay, I can't stand it. I'm taking it off. Oh, my gosh. COVID, it's back. KATU news story. Are you all right, Hunter? Do you have your mask? Get it on.
I'm going to put my mask back on. I had to, read the segment sponsors, and now it's got to mask it up.
Right. There you go. Mask it up. And 6 feet, man. Yeah, well, a new COVID variant.
If I was only alone in my car, this would be even better.
Well, you need to wear it swimming, too, because that's what all the smart kids do. Been detected in at least 25 states, with experts confirming the mutation was first identified in the United States in June 2025. Dun, dun, dun. Where's our scary music? And I tweeted, oh, no, whatever shall we do?
Well, I'm just really confused of why this wasn't headline news in June of 2025. A new variant, I would have raced out and gotten at least 8 to 12 shots.
Right. Well, I don't think it was politically expedient to release it then. And the new variant is called Cicada. So I'm like, do we just need some Raid to get rid of this? A little bit of Raid and we're good.
And I just sit here and go, I don't think anyone in the comments section is even slightly worried about this.
No, I'm seeing lots of Mr. Bean yawning gifts. I'm seeing screaming SpongeBob and
Patrick.
I'm seeing, oh, shut everything down. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, people are not. It was a bad cold, and that's all it ever was. Unless you were sick with something else, or you were old.
Well, and that was the thing. I'm sitting there going, for a good solid 12 plus months, COVID annihilated the flu. The flu did no longer exist for a full year. And I go, how is that possible? How is everything COVID? I mean, I looked at numbers. There was a small county, I believe, in Texas that had 4 COVID deaths at one point. Half of them also suffered from gunshot wounds. And I just sat there and go, none of this makes any sense. And then the fact that they're pulling it out again, and it's got to make the news as, a new variant, buckle down the hatches. You're going to kill grandma again.
Well, we know why. It's election season. So it's like clockwork. You know what? I was in Olympia over the weekend, and we went to the farmer's market in downtown. I saw way too many masks. unhealthy people,
mm-hmm.
young people. And granted, okay, fine, caveat. I don't know if there was something there, but seriously, in many cases, no.
We have transformed a generation into being so afraid. Yes. I mean, when we were little, we're out eating dirt and worms and playing in the mud and out in the rain. And, you know, the human body is actually an amazing thing that can build up these things they call antibodies that really help you when that cold or that flu even tries to infect you. Your body is stronger and able to fight it off. And what did we see coming out of 2020? A whole lot of people that got sick constantly after getting the jab, after making sure they had masks on, sterilizing everything, and they couldn't even handle a raindrop.
How many people do you know that got most of the shots or are still getting boosters? They're constantly sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like once or twice a year they're sick, and it's like really sick. It's just crazy. And the lack of critical thinking on this, it's mind-boggling. Well, and the fact that they're trying to do this and try to, you know, put the scare quotes around everything again, and, you know, you're going to have some dippy-doos that are going to fall for it again, too.
Well, and I just sit here and go, for a side of the aisle that screams, follow the science, none of this was scientific. And it didn't take a scientist or a PhD to figure it out. It just took a little critical thinking of saying, everything through human history, we know how these things work, and yet everything they're telling us flies against what we have known has worked for generations.
Like natural immunity.
Hmm.
How many conversations did you have? Oh, are you going to get the shot? No, I'm not going to get the shot. If I get it, I will have immunity. So do you, mm-hmm. especially people that had it and then got the shot. I'm like, why? You have immunity. That's how it worked until 5 minutes ago.
I got COVID way back when, and
I had it.
I survived it. I didn't.
You did.
I actually didn't take a test, but
no,
a couple
either.
Of people in my very close inner circle who did get it got their tests and said they had it. So I'm pretty sure I had it. But I survived it, and I didn't think I needed to go out and get a shot. My brother actually got it, tested positive mm-hmm. for it, mm-hmm. got over it, and days later, his doctor recommended he goes in and gets the shot. He went in and got the shot and got sick all over again, even worse than the first time around. I'm just going, they have never once said you need to get an immunity shot for something after you've had it. I'm not going to go get a chicken pox shot today.
No. And the whole thing of, and that was the narrative being pushed out there. Well, you need to protect people around you. That's not how vaccines work. How many times did you have that argument? Mm-hmm. Well, you don't care about grandma. You don't care about me. You don't care about the children. I get a vaccine if I want to protect me. If you want to protect you, get the vaccine. If you've got the vaccine, you're good, bro. Leave me alone.
At least that's what they told you.
That's what it was until 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So the gaslighting, I'm so over this. And I'm kind of heartened. I know Twitter is not real life. We know X is not real life. There is not one person in here who is buying this. In fact, the level of snark, I love it. It makes me happy to
see
this.
Even in a few of those comments, they come off a little lefty to a certain extent, and they still aren't buying it. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, this has run its course. Let's let it die a happy COVID death. I mean, at that point, I'm just so sick and tired of this.
I am too. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, I've got another tweet because this is interesting too, because sort of shifting gears, but keeping an eye on what's happening nationally with the SAVE Act, which is not going to pass. Mm-mm. Which makes me absolutely furious at these idiots, Republicans and Democrats. Kind of y'all suck.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we talk about it all the time. There's Republicans, there's Democrats, but really we're talking about the establishment and the, you know, the people that actually want to represent the people, because the Republicans, the Democrats sitting in D.C. right now, none of them are representing their constituents until they get this SAVE Act passed.
Have you seen, I saw a post from TMZ saying that a lot of people are sending them in all these videos of, you know, Lindsey Graham with his little bubble wand crashing the line at Space Mountain or whatever in Disney. Somebody photoshopped him into a Cinderella dress, and I thought that was pretty perfect. Would Lady Lindsay could bring her bubble wand back to session with her? That's all right. John Thune being approached in the airport. Many of them hanging out at bars, all having fun. Now, I get that there were spring break vacations. Tough.
Mm-hmm.
Tough crap, people. Tough. This is your job. And if you didn't get it done, you don't get to go on vacation. Send mom and the kids, or send dad and the kids. They can go have fun. And so it looks like President Trump is now considering using his constitutional powers to end the Senate and House paid vacations and to make them come back and fund DHS. So again, this is Eric Daughtry, whatever. He said this would be epic. Article 2, Section 3 grants Trump this special power. Make them work. Do it, Mr. President. Do it. Everybody can't. Nobody likes these people.
No. Well, here's the irony of this. If you actually go watch the little Fox News clip as part of this tweet where Thune is walking through the airport, he walks right around the checkpoint, security check. So I'm sitting here going, the irony of this clip is the guy is sitting here saying, I'm with a big smile on his face, heading off for vacation, walking around what the average American has to sit and wait in for however long because of these choices and this lockout. And I'm just going, this is unacceptable.
Can you imagine they feeling that entitled to just not give a crap about what the optics are? You're that smug, that entitled, that you don't care that there's a family and all these people queuing up in line for 5 hours to get to their Disneyland vacation. You skate through. I saw Nancy Mace, Republican, walking right through on her phone conveniently so she can't answer or talk to reporters. All of them suck. They just do. I'm so fed up with them all.
At this point, I will support any DHS person that is there working, sit there and say, nope, sorry, we're not allowing you to do this anymore. We are not allowing walkthroughs. You just have to go get in line like everybody else.
I think it was Delta Airlines, I think, was one that said that they're not going to do that, but I've not seen video. Oh, I did see Bill Barr. They had Bill Barr, who's not, I don't think he's not doing anything right now, but he was waiting in a TSA line. But I think the president should do it. I'm getting a little frustrated with President Trump as well. You have tools at your disposal to do this. Instead of saying, please come back. Please. No, you say you will come back and you will do your jobs. 83% of Americans want this done. I'm so over it.
Yeah. No. And that's the thing. This shouldn't be something we're even talking about. This should be something that just flies through, gets voted on, gets the signature on it, and we can start moving forward and talking about, you know, get out and vote. We have the SAVE Act now. Your vote's going to mean more. That idea that your vote doesn't count because six people that shouldn't be voting are voting the opposite of you, that goes away overnight.
Yep. Yep. And how many person who's not eligible to vote is canceling out? Just real quick before we take a break, the numbers. 95% of Republicans, 71% of Democrats favor requiring all voters to show government-issued photo ID to vote. Now, we can have that conversation about states that allow illegal aliens driver's cards, because that's part of this, which is a concern. But those numbers, they're overwhelming. My thought is, I don't know that I'm going to vote for any incumbent Republican in the primary. I'd be like, who's running against you? Yep, you. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense at this point because they're not getting the job done they were elected to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We have it within our power to do something about it, too. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we do it and use it. All right. I need to... do some deep breathing. We'll take a break and we'll come back. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care in Cozy's New York Deli.
Ooh, I feel a Cozy's wedge sandwich in my future.
That's a bright future.
Isn't it? There's a gabagool just over the horizon
for me. That's like, I could, you know, be part of an NBA team and not have to think about leaving the state, right?
Well, funny you mention that. Headline today, Fox KP12, new ownership officially completes purchase of Portland Trail Blazers after NBA approval. So it's this group called Rip City Rising. They have acquired a majority stake, not only in the Trail Blazers, but Rip City Remix and Rip City Management, which oversees operations of the Moda Center and the Rose Quarter campus. Now, we were talking on the break. That's great. That's awesome. And the Moda Center needs it. It's one of the oldest stadiums in the country.
Yep.
But if you've been around there recently, it's more than just the Moda Center that needs a little tender, loving care.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, I go back to the last couple of weeks where the NBA representatives came in, they met with Kotek, they met with Ferguson up in Washington, and very quickly we've got acknowledgement that The Seattle SuperSonics are now likely to be coming back. Nothing is official until yes.
Oh, so the NBA, that's a good thing.
Yeah, the NBA is expanding with the and they're exploring expansion, and the only two teams that would be added are a team in Las Vegas and the Sonics coming back. That's their exploration right now.
I saw something, and this is probably just internet baloney about Idaho courting something from Portland to get a
possibly.
Which struck me as what?
Yeah, who knows?
Did you see that too?
I haven't seen it, but it's probably worth looking into. But the fact of the matter is the Paul Allen Foundation put the Sonics or the Blazers and the Seahawks are both up for sale. Now, of course, Moda Center being the oldest basketball arena operating still in the NBA.
Yeah.
The conversation was then, well, if someone buys them, you know, that doesn't have any ties to Oregon, would they be moving to Seattle? Could they move to Vegas? This net. Well,
Boise.
Now the NBA's blocked virtually those two options. So encouragement, it got a group that's naming themselves Rip City Rising to come in and make this purchase. Very quick approval by the NBA. So now there's no worry of the Blazers packing up and leaving in the near future, but Moda Center needs massive renovations to bring it more up to the times.
Right.
But the area around it needs to become more appealing to bring the fans in.
Yeah. You're going to have people who want to go there who don't want to fear for their lives or fear for stepping on poop or poking their toe with a needle.
Or wonder if their car is going to have any windows left when they come out of the building.
Exactly. And that's been going on for a long time. Now, basketball is the one professional sport that I was a big fan in the 90s when it was Michael Jordan, when it was the Bulls and the Blazers, and it was Clyde Drexler, and it was Buck Williams, and it was Jerome Kersey. I had a crush on Jerome Kersey.
Listen to all those names she could pull out.
I told you, I was a fan. And I've said this, and I'm not a sports person. Football I find exhausting because I have to have everything explained to me. The mustache, or when with his family, they're, you know, a big football family, and I'm like, I don't know, it's just like a big game, a big pile. But I get basketball, and I was such a fan. I went to a game. It was in the wicked nosebleed section, and I felt like if I leaned forward too far, I was just going to roll all the way down to the court. It's actually kind of scary. So this is good that it's going to stay. Yeah. But you're right. There's a lot of work, and we need new leadership in the state of Oregon to make it a priority.
That's right. Well, and for me, I sit there and I go, you know, I went to a lot of games back in the 90s, you know, up in the Seattle area, because going to the Seattle Center Arena or even the Kingdome to watch the Sonics play was affordable for a teenager.
Exactly.
And
what is it now?
Well, because of the popularity and the excitement around basketball, the NBA went to a smaller arena with more expensive tickets. So virtually what used to be a $5 to $10 ticket at Seattle Center Arena became a $75 ticket at Key Arena when they built it. And then, of course, basketball had their challenging time, we'll put it that way, with the behavior of players and things like that. And then now, you know, the story of Seattle was a new ownership group wanted them to build a bigger arena so it could put more people in for less money. Well, that didn't happen. The Sonics moved away. So now it's kind of like we're in an era where politics is almost too much of a headline for the NBA right now. That's my biggest struggle with the NBA. All these activist players that want to tell us what we need to think and how we need to be. But then I go, you know, they bring back the Sonics and they add that millionaire tax, which became official now in the state of Washington.
That's
going to be another
interesting
aspect.
Who's going
to want
to play in Seattle?
Because all these players are making over $1 million.
Oh, good point. You know, and then I did see a story, and I don't have it in front of me. I think we'll maybe talk about it. But there was there's a Christian player from the Bulls who they just suspended because, oh, shock and horror, he's a Christian and doesn't agree with the LGBTQ Pride Month declarations, and he stood by his convictions, and they said bye.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Those are some underlying problems with the NBA today. And until they can get the politics out of and the, you know, the belief that, you know, you have your beliefs, I have my beliefs, but your beliefs are so wrong we can suspend you is not acceptable behavior.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when that all started, but I mean, you were saying too that the NBA is Is it more political than the NFL? Because the NFL really is garbage with that.
I think it is simply because you have more of their key players that want to get involved in it. And it's a much higher percent. I mean, you look at the NFL, there's 50 some odd players on a team. And if you have a few of them, the Colin Kaepernicks, and they grab headlines. Yeah. But when you're talking at the NBA level, there's a more personal experience. They're not in helmets and they're not in football gear all the time. You're up close and personal. You're sitting courtside or, you know, wherever. I think that adds an element into it where the NBA's political is a little more in your face simply because some of the biggest stars are out there. And when there's only 10 or 15 guys on a team, that's a much higher percentage than when you're looking at an NFL rosters.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, sort of yearn for the days of Michael Jordan. When asked about politics, he said, well, Republicans buy my sneakers too. Mm-hmm. You know, so it would be nice to go back there. I don't know. Woke is certainly not dead. Have we reached peak woke and all this political posturing and virtue signal and everything? I don't know that we've reached peak. You sometimes see like, oh, it's dying off. And then, nope, it's back again. But this is potentially good news. But there's a chance that it could not stick, that it could fall through? Or are we in, Portland in good shape
now? So the transition of ownership is complete. The approval by the NFL owners is the final step. So the Blazers are officially owned by this group now. But as we saw in Seattle when Howard Schultz sold the Sonics, yes, we're going to stay in Seattle. We're going to make every effort to stay in Seattle. And then all of a sudden, we're leaving Seattle. So nothing is ever written in stone, especially when you're talking about pro sports. And the city's willingness to help those pro sports achieve maximum visibility.
All right. Well, we'll be following it and we'll see. But yeah, your point about the millionaires tax in Seattle is a good one. It's going to be interesting to see how that affects the sport. Because even when you're playing and you're an opposing team, if you earn your money there, I remember when I was on The Weakest Link and I won my money in California, I had to pay some pretty hefty California taxes on that money.
Yeah.
So my little pot that I won was taxed by Oregon and California.
You win a jackpot in Vegas. You are paying taxes. I mean, wherever you get the money from, not where you take the money to, is the place you will be taxed on it.
Oh, boy. Okay. Many, many moving pieces. All right. Well, we're in Holy Week. Mm-hmm. Easter Sunday's coming up. It is Holy Tuesday. The day that Jesus warned of the end times. Tomorrow is Spy Wednesday, the day that Judas Iscariot agrees to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Do you watch The Chosen? I always remember watching The Ten Commandments. It was always on at Easter.
I've watched some of The Chosen, probably not as much as I should. I think there's, you know, it's mainly just kind of been some of the big episodes my mom will call
me. Some people have issues with it.
You should watch these. You know,
they're like, you take a little bit of license with that, but to flesh it out, I've enjoyed it all the way through. Obviously, we'll be up on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, of course, which is the crucifixion, and then Holy Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. So, it's fascinating. Again, that was the time that we always watched the Ten Commandments, and I just remember the woman who played I can't even remember her name now. Ramsey's wife, just the way she would say, oh, Moses, in her very sort of North Atlantic accent. Okay, I believe she's Egyptian.
Oh, yeah. No, we are. Yeah, it's crazy to believe the Easter is just coming up this Sunday.
We have been
flying through, and I think we all need that day of kind of a reassessment and maybe some new beginnings.
Yes, on Easter Sunday, he is risen. It is it's a wonderful time of year. We are out of time. We've got a great guest on tomorrow. Ben Roche, the writer, a local writer, is going to come on and talk to us about some really cool issues. He's a great writer. You'll want to tune in. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.